Welcome to the Super Show. New, improved, with the eye of justice, kung fu grip, and cat-like an action figure. Adventure playset included. Gold bricks sold separately. This show covers all kinds of epicness. From ancient antiquity to multiplying zygotes. You want it, we got it. Starring the world's most dangerous talking heads. Sam Simeon, the supervillain. Kellen the Wise. And belligerent Ben for the win, Benji Bats. Now brace yourself. It only hurts at first. And when you turn it off, so lay back, spark it if you got it. As we bring you the Super Show.
We're here, motherfuckers. We're here.
The new intro.
Sometimes you gotta land a plane, and it's like
very
solid.
Interesting.
And then
this dude was hitting buttons like it was a fucking piano over here.
And then
he was excited.
There was one. Welcome back to the Super Show, Series 4, Episode 1. And
damn.
One is the, who is our spirit animal?
When we say Big O, Oscar Robertson.
Oh, he's got to give the first bell.
Honorable mention to Ozzy Smith as well.
Ozzy Smith, honorable mention. He did the backflip in the outfield.
Another honorable mention.
Shout out to him.
12-time All-Star, I think, kind of wins. And yeah. He was so old that he played for the Cincinnati Royals.
Oh, the Cincinnati Royals. Give it up
yeah.
to them.
Didn't he play? Didn't he go to in some high school in Indianapolis? Crispus Attucks.
Yes,
yeah, Crispus Attucks.
Yes. And
yeah.
He brought home the chant,
which
champ.
Is a historical black high school
that
was established because affluent white people in downtown Indianapolis didn't want their children going to school with black people, so they built this school specifically for black people, and it ended up being this amazing powerhouse from an athletics not just athletics but they turned out some really smart motherfuckers.
That's what I was
gonna
say. They're pretty cool cool academically as well.
My I grew up in the church. My pastor Tom, his wife Linda, was a teacher at Crispus Attucks until it closed.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, Miss Linda. She just
Miss
the
Linda.
Sweetest little old white lady, just so sweet.
God bless
and
you.
It Linda. It I mean she was teaching at Crispus Attucks. I mean it was she stood out there. I'll just say that.
Crispus Attucks is it's a thriving school now. As we speak.
Wait, I thought it closed. I thought that,
it did close down for a little bit, but it was part of like that rejuvenation where they brought back George Washington. I think a couple other schools as well.
I didn't realize it was back open again. I mean,
I think it's sadly a IPS.
It's a gorgeous
school.
Building. Yep. Like the building
isn't
is fantastic.
Isn't it IPS something.
Yeah.
So
it's got a very movie-esque football field. Like it looks
mm-hmm.
like somewhere.
Yeah, the quality of the education going on there now is probably not as good as it was then.
I don't know. I mean, it's typically like the best high school academically if you go to school downtown. I mean, it really
just
is.
Like, you know, IPS in general is a nightmare.
Well, yes, but, you know, it's kind of like one of those magnet schools or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So I know you hear these voices, and I'm going to introduce these gentlemen.
You might as well.
They deserve an introduction. That voice you just heard was Kellen Wise. The voice you heard at first was belligerent man for the win, Benji Betts. Let's give these gentlemen a bell.
Yep, yep.
And a round of applause. How are you doing today? I am Sam Simeon.
Thank you.
Time.
Welcome to the Super Show, Series 4, Episode 1. And we are here to cover 4 episodes of the hottest shit in streaming and really kind of in the world right now. I'm fucking feeling it. It's epic. We're going to give it the Super Show treatment. It is
Isn't
the
like
new
98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was definitely in the high 90s the other day.
Is the new show Fallout
on
Amazon Prime from the
based off of the video game series from Bethesda Games.
Yep.
Yeah,
and shout out to them. Let's give him a round of applause.
Nice little recreation of the game.
And Walton, is that how you say it?
Walton Goggins.
Boyd Crowder, give him a bell. Yeah. And he's one of my favorite actors.
What's
old girl's name? Shout out to him.
Laura McClain.
No, no, not in the show. What's her name in real life?
Ella Purnell.
Yeah. She's the bug eyes. But she's British. Well,
I'm trying to figure out, bro. She was in Army of the Dead that Zack Snyder did.
I always want to call her Olivia Munn, and she's not that hot.
She keeps playing the child of a white person, and she's not fucking white. She's Asian. She's from Britain, first of all, and she's half Asian, half white.
Ooh.
And they keep acting like she's fucking white. She is not white. She was cast as... Yeah, she
could get all of it. And in this, which we'll cover when she's talking about all that, what does she say about, do you want to bang me or whatever? I'm like, that?
You want to make my cock explode?
Man, no, that's what he said to her. But what did she say when she was like,
he dropped his pants, and then she's just like, okie dokie.
Yeah, okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
And then she's hopped too, man.
Yeah.
She got the right attitude.
Yeah. She does have the right attitude.
I totally agree. That's new news.
Tomorrow, the new Knuckles series, apparently, according to Rotten Tomatoes, is 70%, so that's not bad.
And it's such an offshoot character that, of course, it was...
Sonic's nemesis, like probably his biggest nemesis.
Yeah, but and so it's a show about him itself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Sonic and Tails probably make some kind of an appearance, so what is a series on Paramount, and then they've got Sonic 3 coming out later this year, right?
Jim
Carrey back in Eggman, I think so.
Yeah, I thought he retired after 2, but I guess they convinced him to.
He's retired come back on one more time. Fucking times. He's really weird.
I've got new news as well. Inside sources at the MCU have shared that the new Blade movie will be about Blade killing vampires.
Oh, yay! Fucking geniuses and Marvel.
And this was the new direction that they took.
I just want
after
to know.
Initially going with a female-fronted movie with him as a background character.
I'm just wondering what the point was going to be. Like, just it's about Blade and a love story.
No, it was about chicks
and biting.
It was about chicks, and he was just like a side character. Weird. That was the original plan.
I don't even understand how you got him into doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's why he put the clamps on the director and the script, and they had to rewrite the whole thing.
Now we know why. Directors now?
Well, now we know why he was like, "Nah, I'm not fucking doing this."
No, and he had every right not to.
Yep. Yeah. So that we got the new Deadpool trailer. Looks dope.
Disagree. Deadpool trailer.
We talked about
the naysayer. I say nay.
All the random X-Men people. Apparently, Marvel fans noticed the inclusion of the Russian from the Punisher
But not that version that you showed the picture of.
No, it's...
He was the super cool one. Had his head cut off.
Yeah.
And he put it back on. He was fucking hard to deal with. That's the comic book one. He was hard to deal with. Now, the one Kevin Nash was in...
He still looked hard to deal with. He took a pot of boiling water. He made me realize, you better never come in my shit when I'm cooking.
Yeah. You don't fuck
with... Fuck you up.
But it's known in real life and in fantasy that... I mean, it's just textbook that you must kill a Russian twice for them to be dead. So, I mean, anything you do
at
to
least
them,
twice.
At least twice, right?
Rasputin, they had to kill him 13 times.
And he was like a super Russian, so of course.
That's true.
But, you know, stabbing them 4, 5, 7, 8 times, maybe if they were already close to death, sort of. But
is it like Russia Chlorians? I wonder if they have a Russia Chlorian count, that kind of gives them their Russian powers.
Yeah, they said that the average age for Russian males is 55.
Russia Chlorians. Russia Chlorians.
Most Russian males are alcoholics by 30.
Well, honestly, that's probably pretty
unfairly,
late.
Unfairly, though, is that until 2013...
I think kids can drink in Russia.
They can still drink, just they can.
It's like, what, not even considered an alcoholic beverage unless it's above, like, what, 10%?
I think it's 12, because it's 11% and lower, which is a soft drink.
I don't know if you've ever had a little something called Four Loko. Those things will fuck you up, and they're like 10%.
Yeah, so... kids are fucking Four Loko. And that's why Russian kids are harder than American kids.
That's why they're hard. They're cracking fucking into the goddamn Pentagon when they're in third grade and shit.
Yeah, yeah. And because they ain't slept in like 8 weeks. They're just fucking up off shit. So, do we have any more new news? I know we got...
We're up to...
The Super Show has been very successful. And I say that humbly in appreciation of these two gentlemen as well, because we took on an idea... Now going on a couple years ago,
to do an interactive, explosive,
dangerous podcast, not like the podcast you
chose. I was going to say explosive diarrhea. Thank God.
Thank God. Was inappropriate.
So we have done that, and because of that, we have been very successful, and we are proud to say.
I think we have some more new news. Let's ask our listeners. So when you see us in the Facebook group or around town,
get up in there.
We were invited by a drag queen and a transsexual to be paid to be on their show.
We don't think this is a good idea.
our initial reaction is we're not sure about this.
It was a gay male and then the other, a transformer.
Yeah, transformer. So, see, they would be mad if we called them transistors.
Yeah. And they'd be like, no, we're not related.
Like, I don't even conduct electricity, sir.
Yeah.
So, listeners, when you see us around the way, let us know, should we go on the show?
To be fair, they asked us to do this because they, for payment,
which makes it even weirder. I feel like
we're getting paid to get canceled.
We're going to give you $40 and you're going to get the fuck on.
They listened to the show, and so I know that obviously there could be a possibility.
I just remember the tranny clause incident.
They listened to the show, so I mean, hopefully they didn't
that word got
to,
said
to that episode
a good 150 times.
I just hope that that's not the...
Remember the episode where they counted on South Park where they counted like the word shit? How many times they said shit in one episode?
I feel like we need a counter on that episode.
But we'll move on. Yeah, let us know. Should we do this or shouldn't we?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Once they hear this, they probably be like, fuck them.
Do it. Do it.
Wow, that was shit. Do it.
So we're going to get this show started. We got a lot to cover. So we're going to take a quick break. And we will be right back with more Super Show.
To arm or not to arm? That is the question. Whether it is nobler to continue with what has been, because it was, or to go with the uncola, because it is, must give us pause to refresh ourselves. 7-Up. Wet, wild, fresh, clean, perchance prettier than a cola. 7-Up, the Uncola, sheathed the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and cushions the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to quaff.
You heard it here first. Another exclusive track.
Right now. One. And in comes the two to the three. One. And in comes the two. One. And in comes the two. One, and in comes the two to the three and four. Then I drop the beat I have in store. Lay phonetics on the top like a frog. Make it sound smoother later. Make a dub. Initiate well so that you can tell. I am not illiterate. No, not even a little bit. Nothing like an idiot. Get it? You want the record? Cool. I'm with it.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This is Callan the Wise, and from the makers of Come and Cider Juice Boxes comes Macaque and Cider. Smooth, silky taste, frothy, but in a good way. Women go crazy for Mekonkin cider. Even married women. Mmm. It's that good. Brewed proudly in Missionary Hills, Ireland, by Virgin Eunuch Monks. Try Mekonkin cider. And for those special occasions, we've also got Hard Dickens cider. Same frothy taste, but 98% alcohol. It's basically moonshine. For those nights you just want to take her home, but she's stubborn. And finally, try Fat Wang's Halfway In, Oriental Wings and Walks. That's down the street from Hella's Fur and Nails, pretty much next door to Heimdall's. Buy two wings, get one walk when you pay for it. I really wasn't supposed to say all this, but Bruce Lee loved this shit. That's Fat Wang's Oriental Wings and Walks. And now, back to the Super Show.
Nestled in the not-so-bustling metropolis of my backyard. That's not a euphemism.
It looked bustling.
I busted out the Traeger Pro 780 using cherry pellets. We smoked on Sunday a 10-pound USDA prime brisket.
It was fire.
Well, I would say, in my opinion, that's the best brisket I've ever done, but let's actually break down how I did it. So this was the first time I've ever separated the point from the flat of the brisket. Do you know what the point and the flat are?
I do.
Tell us, Benji.
I do not, but I want to know.
So a full brisket will have a long sort of piece, right, that is less marbled. It's less fatty. It's just it'll have a fat cap on it, but the actual
cap.
Yeah, but the
fat cap.
But the actual meat itself tends to be leaner. Okay. Now the
not that there's anything wrong with
the
that.
Flat then has a border of fat that is then connected to the point, which is a more marbled, is the more marbled end of the brisket. Now, if you are good with a knife, which I am,
good knife,
you can follow that line of fat and actually separate it out, right? And it also allows you to eliminate cook time because you are separating that piece, and then they will independently cook of each other. Now, there are advantages to separating the flat from the point for other reasons that we just mentioned, meaning the cook time for, like, per pound for the point would be different because it's more fatty meat. It's more marbled, right? And when you smoke brisket, you're actually rendering the fat in the meat out. Now, that fat content also keeps the meat from achieving the desired temperature, which would indicate that it is tender and will, you know, just fall apart in your mouth. So, we separated those out and carved it well, in my opinion. I did not leave too much fat on, did not take too much fat off. It's not fatty brisket, but it's not also too lean. So that part was done well. Then we used Simon's Secret Sauce as a binder, which is a mustard, like a Dijon mustard aioli. It's probably the best way to say that, which means it has mayonnaise in it, oil content, which then will help the rub crisp up when as it smokes and barks out. Now, for the first time ever, I utilized Bollner's Fiesta Spices Brisket Rub. Now, for previous briskets, I have always been Meat Church only. Voodoo Rub, Holy Cow, I mean, we've talked about Me Church rubs in every smoking, smoking episode that I've done on Edible Hulk here. But we went with Bollner's, B-O-L-N-E-R apostrophe S. And now this is my new secret weapon, because Bollner's I grew up with in San Antonio. This is a Texas spice company, and they sit right on the border where they do Mexican food spices and they do Texas barbecue spices. So you can really get an array of everything that you need from this company. And I swear by their product. It is, in fact, the best brisket rub that I've ever tasted. And so I was extremely happy with it. All of my guests, I sent brisket home with them. We actually, I intended to, but I was a little bit litty titty at that point.
Titties.
But with that said, we consumed 5 pounds of brisket at the event. There were 4 adults.
Feels right.
And 2 kids that ate the brisket, and we ate 5 pounds. Of brisket. The entire point and most of the flat, and the flat was 6 pounds itself. So it was the most successful smoke that I've ever had, I would say. I mean, I honestly kind of surprised myself. I don't have years of experience smoking brisket like the average pitmaster would. And I came out with something that I would have been proud to serve in a restaurant or a smoking competition, to be honest with you. So,
it
turned out really well. Now, we also served my traditional Cajun corn side item at the event, and we incorporated a new ingredient on this. We used black truffle butter, so it was black truffle Cajun corn, and that turned out pretty successfully as well. We smoked that the night before, prepared it, and had it ready to go in individual dishes for all the guests.
Oh, you don't say.
This
was one of the rare occasions that I was not in attendance.
Yeah, you were on a field trip.
Gallivanting.
Yeah, you
would say.
Okay, you were gallivanting, absolutely.
Gallivanting.
Well, you gallivanted several states away. Did some cool things, some shopping and some other stuff, and
returned,
I was a little bit jealous.
Returned with tales of valor and dragons.
Okay. Didn't realize they have dragons.
Spoils
in
of war.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Sorry, I didn't mean to disclose locations. I know how you feel about
that.
But there are
several CIA black houses in Minnesota. No way would they know which one.
Okay, so I'm going to have to grade my brisket and my side of corn.
A plus.
Well, we're not doing A pluses anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
We're on the 10-point scale.
I don't know how that works. 10.0. It's fucking delicious.
So, wait a minute. I haven't heard a word. Kellen Wise, and he was a partaker of said brisket.
I ate
so this is one of the unique
multiple
times
pieces.
I felt bad for whatever
was finished first. I'm guessing probably the point was done first. The
point was gone
that
in
was
like
gone
5 minutes.
I was like, I don't want to take another one, but...
A 3-pound point was gone. I carved about a pound of fat off, so it was three pounds on the point, 6 on the flat, and like... The 3 pounds of point was gone literally in 10 minutes.
So, Kellen Wise, what grade did you give it?
I don't know about this 10-point scale or whatever, so I just need to say 10. It was fucking fire.
10. So, belligerent man for the win.
I appreciate that grade. I am of the belief that nothing is a 10 because something could always potentially be better.
Well, that brisket
was... So, 9.9 is the highest grade I would ever give, but that said... Well, I mean, I've had a lot of really good brisket. So. Like, in my opinion, it was better brisket than the brisket that we had at the restaurant in South Beach or in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, it destroyed that brisket.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's strong.
I mean, it quite literally destroyed it, in my opinion. So, man. I'm going to give it a 9.4. 9.4 on the brisket. 9.4.
9.4.
We'll have to hit you up.
Now, right I enjoyed the incorporation of the black truffle into the Cajun corn, which was smoked really well. It didn't get the grill marks that I like to get on the corn when I smoke it. Like, I like to have kind of those, like, singy parts to it. Didn't get those, so that's a deduction, in my opinion. But, I mean, the black truffle is fantastic. I will give that corn an 8.9.
Oh.
From a non-corn eating person, I eat corn. Whatever 7.5 means, that sounds like a B to me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it was...
It was good. It was like smoky corn.
He ate about half of it. I was kind of proud of him.
And he don't even eat vegetables.
I don't. No.
Corn is not a vegetable. It's a starch.
Yeah, it counts.
It's vegetable meat.
Yeah, it's good.
I definitely didn't hit it with the curry rating that we got snuck on. I'm like, I can't eat that.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing about that dish that got me was that curry in the background. It was just, curry is such a unique flavor profile that you really gotta appreciate it yourself.
Man, I've been doing a little door dashing for fun, and anytime I have to pick up Indian food, I despise it.
My car is gonna smell like fucking diarrhea.
How do people eat that shit?
Yeah,
like, I need it to at least like smell good or have some kind of something that I like. Like, can it smell like garlic or something? Nah,
I want to say that Indian folks are some of the most hospitable people in the world.
Oh yeah, like, I've been, I'm not saying any of that.
I've been to two Indian weddings, so I just want to say I've been to the two Indian weddings. Like, it's fucking fantastic. They like, some people will talk about appropriation. You doing shit that you're not, that I'm supposed to be doing, but you're not. Like, they don't give a fuck, bro. They're like, come up and dance with us. Like, do the shit with us. I mean, the way that they welcome you is so warm. And
why do they gotta do the curry?
That said, like, I cannot fuck with Indian food at all, period. No. Like, I cannot do it. I have the most robust constitution of any constitution that I've met. But my constitution
is high.
Does not deal with a
Sam
few things.
Sam knows about high constitution now. So
Indian food as a whole, tomato soup.
Sometimes you gotta get a factory reset, though.
So the things
I've been sick as fuck since then.
My constitution will not tolerate Indian food, tomato soup, tomato juice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So no Mary Bloodies?
Hell no.
It's fucking disgusting.
Bro, that is the most disgusting
shit
ever.
Celery.
Nah, bro,
bacon.
They put chicken tenders, motherfucking
stupid
giant prawns, and like, bro, it's like they literally put a meat. Like, I seen one that had a cheeseburger stuck to the top of it. They put a whole ass meal
on the fucking drink.
It's fucking
so
stupid.
So what are you supposed to do with that? Dip your cheeseburger in it? Fucking weird.
Dude, disgusting. Ugh.
Inappropriate.
Will not do it.
Inappropriate. So, yeah. Overall, there was the ambiance.
Yeah, and you'll know. You'll know what yours is like.
We were drinking crazy beers. Yes. It was one of it was a beer gathering as well. So we had all sorts of tasty beers.
So it went well.
Shout out to Tyler for providing some.
Ron Burgundy, former guest of the Super Show.
Shout out to Ron Burgundy, not that one.
Provided some beer.
Pickup truck tire.
That's one of the best guys. That's one of the best dudes ever. Like,
I didn't
that dude
he was
is
so
just
young.
A good fucking dude.
Shout out to him.
He did mention.
I think
he
looks a little bit younger than he is. Maybe.
Well, no. Remember, like, he's pretty young. I think you said he was like 26 or 29. He's in his 20s.
Well, yeah. Well, I know he's in his 20s. I thought you were saying he's like 23 or something.
No.
He's like 27, 28.
He mentioned that like the only movie that he has ever seen really from the 80s. Is what was it, Rocky, right? So no Predator, no Aliens, no Top Gun.
He's never seen Aliens.
Oh, yeah, he's never seen Top Gun.
What?
Yeah, I was like, you need to go check some of these bad boys out.
But wait a minute, why we never covered Aliens?
Just hasn't came up.
Were we afraid of fucking
I think Prometheus is the best movie in the entire Alien series.
Really?
Personally.
More than Aliens?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Prometheus blew my fucking mind, bro.
Prometheus is good, but because I don't know if it's better than the first chest buster.
They took tough. Ancient astronaut theory.
First chest buster was in Alien.
Alien.
But Aliens was the good one with the Colonial Marines.
Yeah, Prometheus took ancient astronaut theory and made it an Aliens movie. It was fucking sick bro.
Yeah, I just rewatched it recently.
It was like watching Ancient Aliens, but with aliens.
It was a good movie, but I just don't know if it's better than the originals.
It just hit me on some shit that I actually believe in. Yeah, so
people that seeded the humanity on Earth could be fantasy like anything else, but man, that's more believable than a burning bush, parting the Red Sea.
Well, see, for me, dude, it was like when a Scientologist watches Destination
Earth.
Yeah, Destination Earth with John Travolta. Like that was a movie depiction of their beliefs.
Right.
And so that's how Prometheus is for me. Yeah. Like I mean, that shit.
So
fucks me up. Yeah, I thought that there were questions, right? Weren't there supposed to be questions at the end of my shit? I guess not. All right, okay, no questions.
No further
I will
questions.
Not be asked.
No further questions.
But you will be in the future, so prepare to answer questions.
Reggie Bush got his Heisman.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh yeah, let's give him some
justice shout for out. Reggie.
Shout out, Reggie Bush.
Especially because I've been watching everybody's getting paid.
Instead of using let's put that back on.
I've been watching I've been watching a lot of Gilbert Arena.
Yeah.
And they've been talking about basically now since it's free to talk about, of course we knew it but didn't know it. All athletes been getting paid money ever.
I mean, for always.
I feel like they're getting shit.
Their families are getting shit.
We knew it, but we didn't know them saying it directly.
I don't think that shit happened for Bob Knight, though. I think hell no.
But
I think Coach Krzyzewski was like, go ahead.
But I don't think that at the beginning of Coach Krzyzewski.
By the 90s, Krzyzewski was on that money train.
If you were in a program that you got consistent McDonald's All-Americans, you were paying people. There's no fucking way you weren't, because they would just turn around and go somewhere that they did get paid.
Right. But I didn't have a problem with it then. I have a problem with now. Some of these dudes will never make it to the NBA or NFL.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, the biggest thing for a lot of them, too, is that they fucking get injured in college. They're never getting paid as a pro like they would be. You know what I mean?
100%.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless you're fucking Kyrie and get injured after like two games and still get drafted first overall.
What's to keep those dudes that took...
can handle. You didn't need how many games to know.
Yeah. He's still fucking ridiculous.
So, a lot of those deals were predicated, like, these dudes would come in and say, hey, I'll give you 10 G's, you got to give me 5% of your first year's salary or whatever the fuck. And, like, why don't you just be like, I'm just not going to pay you.
Right.
You ain't going to do shit to me. I'm
in
the NBA.
What are you
going to
do, tell on me?
Yeah,
because those people were connected in a lot of ways you don't think about, and they didn't get the money not being fucking nefarious. So there's something that they can do. But most of the time, it's not that. It's the boosters and stuff.
Bro, you can't fuck with NBA players. The team's got, like, security and all sorts of shit, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, but you gotta go outside sometime. And then you by yourself. That's how Paul Pierce got stabbed 11 times.
Those motherfuckers are never by themselves.
Yeah, Paul Pierce got stabbed 11 times.
Well, he's a fucking idiot.
I just shared the thing the other day. Never forget when Paul Pierce faked injury because he pooped his pants.
Yeah. That shit was funny.
I
see that video where the dude in the convenience store shit his pants? It made the rounds this week. And just a dude standing up at the counter asking to get the bathroom key, And you see his draws and in typical urban fashion, his pants are below his butt cheeks, and it's literally just a brown splat.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
And the dude, that was inappropriate. And the dude at the counter won't give him the keys. Like, hell no, get the fuck out of here. Shit yourself.
Gross. Side note to that story. Sixth grade basketball tryouts, a kid shit his pants when we were running. Never forget it.
What?
Why wouldn't you just go shit? Dude, I don't understand.
It was down his leg. It was gross.
I wouldn't pick him.
Well, no. He didn't make the team.
You can't keep your shit together.
You can't get your shit together. You can't be on the team,
Come on, bro. The one thing I'm asking you is that while we're running up the court, I have to be confident
that you won't shit yourself.
Because I can't ask you to pass, shoot, play defense. I can't ask you to do anything before don't shit yourself.
I never didn't make the team, but if you didn't and you had to be like, but coach, why? They were like, but bro, you can't hold your... You got to wait sphincter, bro.
I had to clean your shit up off the court, bro. And when I say clean your shit up, I mean turds out your ass.
Come on, man. What in the fuck?
So we got some housekeeping to do.
Oh, nice.
I feel bad for Johnny Depp. He's probably had to do that a few times. Clean up turds.
So we got some. We hit our play of the week. The Yankees money line over the Rays back on the 19th.
That's not the one that they got shut out, was it?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
No. We took the Yankees.
Yankees got shut out by the Rays like one game in them series.
That wasn't the one.
Just making sure it wasn't.
Our play of the week, and we hit.
I don't like talking about the Yankees till fucking damn near pennant time.
They've been playing beast so far.
But they got help coming.
Cole's not even in there, man. Cole's coming.
LeMahieu's not playing.
It doesn't matter if you go.
Aaron Judge
just won 30 games in a row. They'll still, by the time pennant time comes, they're fucking 500.
By the way, Aaron Judge isn't even the one that's doing it.
Before I forget, I'm sorry. I got to take a timeout, do a complete curve here. I misspoke on the Kong X Godzilla thing and said that the name of the monkey from Planet of the Apes was also Scar, and it wasn't. It was Koba. Koba. Koba was the dude that the Scar King resembled very much. Yeah. Anywho, sorry, nope, continue on.
I had to write the record. We had the Guardians money lines over the A's. The fucking Dodgers choked against the Mets, so we lost that one. We lost both of our fucking hockey bets, man. These teams both won the game I didn't think they would win, so they didn't really need to win these games. But we had the Wild money line over the Krakens and the Knights money line over the Ducks. Those both didn't hit, but we took our plays of the week up to 33-22, so we're finally getting some daylight in here. We've hit a few in a row. Yeah, feeling good about that. But this one hurts. 191, 130. 132. Oops. And 3.
How about Pascal Siakam putting 37 on them fucking motherfuckers?
They did not come to play first game, but nobody else did.
When is Giannis? Is he supposed to be back?
He might not be back for the series.
That's a bad sign, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're about to come here and get that.
I watched them last night. I watched them.
Unless Dame goes off.
But Milwaukee, they're just like Portland East without Giannis.
That's all it is. Dame has to go off. Yeah. I mean,
remember, he went off. The
only other dudes that they have that can beat us is Chris Middleton, and he's average. And Brooke Lopez, and he might have a game.
Chris Middleton might have the most mediocre motor in all of NBA.
Well, and he can't fucking play defense either, so he's not going to score you 20 a game consistently.
He doesn't feel...
Well, did y'all hear about Tyrese Halliburton's little brother getting called the N-word by fans in Milwaukee in the stands?
Yeah. They were talking about the fans there. He said he wasn't impressed with the fans there, that we had better home crowds for in-season games. So he's like, Buck fans kind of suck. He's like throwing fuel on the fire. But I think that we fucking beat them in both the games here, honestly. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to Milwaukee up 3-1.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. From what I saw last night.
And Tyrese is going to put 40 on him this game after they decide to call his brother the N-word.
This also affects them because Tyrese is an absolute pure point guard. And Dame Lillard, no matter what, I'm not he taking nothing from him. Score. He's a shooting guard in a point guard body.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't have that capacity to facilitate the same way. It just all runs around him, and he has to.
And that's fine.
They can win games that way. Guard. They won game one that way. I mean, if he goes off, they'll win.
Yeah, but he has to go off, and he has to go off big, because look at the Pacers roster. They got weapons. I'm not saying they got one.
Bro, they got stacked, man. When they got Siakam, weapons, like, man, bro, it weapons. Was
that
over.
Was a good deal. That team and we got him weapons. Assigned, so that's cool.
I'm sorry. Like, that tells you about I haven't missed Buddy Hield. I have not.
Well, I didn't miss him when he was here, though.
It's not like he's done shit for the Sixers.
Bro, people lost their fucking minds when they traded.
I don't know why either, man. I saw that.
Dude. I mean, lost their fucking minds on local sports radio.
I don't care what anybody says, and I fucking love fucking Dougie Fresh. Getting Doug fucking McDermott back is basically the same dude. I mean, it's
better dude.
No, because
it's same.
The shooting might be the same, but Doug McDermott is taller.
But I mean, that's it's still neither of them play defense. So yeah, that's
thinking of the white boy. Who's the white boy? The scrappy white boy.
No, that's T.J. McConnell.
Yeah, there you go.
Doug McDermott. We used to have that we traded him for a minute, and he came back. He's not the best, but he's a fucking 3-point specialist. A fucking shoot a three guy. He won't play defense. Buddy didn't play defense. It's the same guy.
Exactly.
But Buddy was fucking expensive.
But it was Buddy.
Dude, I like Buddy buckets, but not to keep him. Not at that rate. All right, so we're looking at some baseball.
When we met, Buddy.
We were looking at baseball on April 26th.
Them white bitches that wouldn't talk to him, and then when they figured out he was famous, then they wouldn't stop looking at his ass and trying to talk to him. And he was like, fuck you, bitches.
He was very average.
All right, we're looking at baseball on the 26th. Okay. So this Friday, I believe that is. Is that right?
Yep. Friday, April 26th.
Yankees money line over the Brewers. We're just going to keep rolling with the fucking Yankees. They're going to keep winning.
Yeah, I don't want sure to will. About
Juan Soto, buddy.
Same day, Dodgers money line over the Jays. I'm rocking it. Just keep playing the fucking T-Wolves. You get plus money right now on them. The fucking Suns are asshole. Grayson Allen's hurt again. They need him to score.
Did you see his ankle? Dude, that was a legitimate injury. Yeah,
well, he was already injured. That's what he said.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, so he...
That ankle almost did an L.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Oh, I've been there. I used to roll my ankles when I played all the time, so I know he's done. Yeah. He's not playing anymore.
Yeah.
So, sign me up for the T-Wolves plus money. That's on Friday as well. And then I want to call some of these series. We probably should have done it before these first games, but I kind of spaced it last week, and they didn't have odds up, and now it's... We're into the series. Pacers are fucking kicking that ass. Take the Pacers right now to win the series. It's like right around even money. Yeah, for sure. Same thing with the Mavs. I don't think that there's any way that the Clippers are going to beat the Mavs. That's a little bit more of a bet right now.
It's the weirdest fucking team ever, dude. The Clippers are the weirdest. The Mavs are
fucking weird, too.
They're both fucking weird.
Clippers won't beat the Mavs?
No. The Mavs are going to win that series.
Yeah, they will.
NHL style, I like Avalanche to win the series against the Jets. And then, man, you can get it for like plus 200 right now. Celtics versus Nuggets in the championship. I don't see any way that doesn't happen. Yeah. Those are the two best teams by far. They're going to have to choke. They're the best teams. The most rounded teams right now. So you can get it for like plus 200. Those are all some series bets, so those will be hanging chads for a few weeks or a couple weeks until those series finish. But these other games are on the 26th. 3 months,
man. The fucking playoffs take forever. It's bullshit. I think
yeah, that championship one will be a minute, but the other ones will be done in like next week. I think
the Celtics is they're questionable.
Man. No way, man. Yeah. Porzingis is
if you had to pick,
is an ad.
Yeah, no, but if you it had makes to pick a different one spot. Of them that has the least chance to make it, it's definitely
I don't know, man.
I doubted that shit too, but like that Porzingis, man, like he stayed healthy and that guy changed that team.
That's what I'm saying. If he can stay healthy and can play, he changed that team.
That dude.
So sign me up for them series and get me out of here.
You sure?
Yep.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
This is Stumpy Sampson, and welcome to the Super Trivia Game Show, where we find out once and for all who knows what.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Shit. Welcome back.
All right.
Welcome
back. Oh, so while we're getting organized here, I've got another piece of new news.
Uh-oh.
I have acquired my first Balenciaga shirt.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, let's give it up.
Man. I gotta say, it was not cheap. I don't know if you've looked at them shirts.
No.
They're about a G.
What
but,
the?
Yeah, for a t-shirt, son. $1,200 for a hoodie.
It better be the finest cotton ever. That cotton better give me a BJ.
I gotta say, the fabric is not normal t-shirt fabric. It feels different than anything I've ever fucking felt.
It better not be.
I'm sure.
Like, it feels like it's high-tech from the future, honestly. Like, it actually does.
All right. We are here to test the wits. And find out who knows
and the
what.
Tits.
Wits and the tits.
So, today we're going to start hard and fast.
That's what she said.
That's how you do it.
And not that anything's wrong with that. So, we're going to start question number one. Bell's ready. During what decade did the Charleston become a huge dance craze?
1920s.
Oh.
All right. It's going to be one of those days. Clean sweep for Benji.
Yo,
that's
I told y'all to make me the permanent host. I told y'all. But,
that goes
okay.
One to Benji Betts. Let's do that.
Oh, even more pieces of paper.
Yeah, we got to know where it's at.
Bro.
Yeah, bro.
We're not keeping track of this one ever.
Yeah.
Dude, no, no just everything that's happened before this that we said we were keeping track of is now gone.
No, we got it all.
Yeah, I don't believe
next
that for
question.
A second.
In 1991, 7 months pregnant, Demi Moore posed nude on the cover of what magazine?
Mm-hmm. Playboy? Probably wrong. For fun. What other nudie mags are there? Hustler.
Benji Betts.
If it is Hustler, I'm pissed.
I'm going to say People.
The answer is Vanity Fair.
Fuck!
Oh! Next question.
How can you be naked on Vanity Fair?
The short-lived sitcom...
Because she's covering her titties with her hands.
The Hank McCone Show was the first TV to use what?
What?
I'll go back.
I didn't even hear that.
An antenna.
Okay. So now I'll rephrase the question for you.
Okay.
The short-lived sitcom, The Hank McCone Show, was the first TV show to use what?
Short-lived show, Hank McCone Show, was the first to use what? Color?
That's what I was going to fucking say after I thought about it. Is that the right answer?
The answer is a laugh track. Laugh track.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Next question. What did Nirvana's first hit single...
Smells like Teen Spirit?
Smell like?
Teen Spirit? I said smells like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, but the bells...
Oh, I was definitely first.
Oh, yeah, that was him.
Oh, that's okay.
Get one of those fucking cups off, weirdo.
I'm trying to tell you.
No.
Nah.
Nah.
You guys self-report.
All
like
right.
It's probation.
So that's exactly. Two. Counting-wise, not that many. Okay, next question. Who competed for the United Kingdom in ski jumping at the Winter Olympics in 1968.
The fuck?
I'm sorry. I'll reread that question. That was.
How much of that did you mess up?
Okay.
Skite skiing?
Who competed for the United Kingdom in ski jumping at the Winter Olympics in 1988?
Sean Connery.
And that is.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery?
Do you have an answer?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I don't fucking know.
The answer is Eddie the Eagle Edwards.
I don't know who that is.
No, you're doing it wrong already. It's
what?
When you finish a card, it goes underneath, Because it's been used.
Yes. No.
Man,
we like to recycle.
Follow the rules that you established.
We want
to
know if you retained or learned anything when he brings up the eagle next time.
And here we go. The speed round.
See?
Next question.
One card underneath from the last time.
Yeah.
Because I won in five questions.
Yeah. Next question. What was the G.I. Joe action figure called in Europe?
Shit.
Kellen Wise. Fuck. That is not the answer.
Yeah, that's my answer. Fuck.
Okay, that will probably... Belligerent Man for the win, or at least for the win of this point.
Lieutenant something? I don't know. But they say lieutenant instead of lieutenant.
The answer is Action Man.
Yeah.
Action Man.
Right.
Next question. John Steinbeck's novel, The Grapes of Wrath, was set during what era? Belligerent Man for the win.
Turn of the century? I'm not sure. Identify
that. Killing Wise.
Okay, got it. I know what I should have done.
I don't know. Prehistoric?
Jesus Christ.
His answer is the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Great Depression.
Shortly after the turn of the century.
Next question. What TV series followed the lives of the students at Bayside High School?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell.
How could you let me beat you to that?
That means Belligerent Ben has three. Kellen Wise does not have three.
Kellen's actually doing an activity in service of the group.
Put me out of my misery, fuck.
Yeah.
Next question. Who is the lead singer of Duran Duran?
Duran?
Oh, fuck. What is dude's name? Is it the guy that does
should be Duran
Skellington?
No.
Should be Duran.
Fuck.
Do you have a guess?
No. But isn't that who?
Isn't
the guy? That's the guy from Uncle Bon.
Simon Le Bon. Simon Le Bon.
No fucking clue who that is.
Next question. What number one draft pick by the Orlando Magic wore
Shaquille O'Neal?
Their
only number one draft pick.
Good job, buddy. You got one.
Okay.
Don't ask me a Shaq question.
The only relevant Orlando Magic.
Next question. What classic board game is known as the game that ties you up in knots?
Twister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's give a round of applause. Kellen Wise has two. Adrian Ben has three. Next question. What children's book begins with "This is George"?
Fuck.
Benji Bass.
Curious George.
Oh.
Damn you. I was like, miss it for fun, miss it for fun. I know this one.
This has been Stumpy Sampson for the Super Show. And now we know for today, who knows what?
You heard it here first. Another exclusive track.
Right now.
Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit. Taste the honey sauce. Taste the goodness of the biscuit with the honey sauce. Don't get that honey sauce on me. I don't like the way it tastes with my chicken wings. Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit. Taste the butter spread. Taste the goodness of the biscuit with the butter spread. To get your butter spread all on me. I don't like the way it mixes with my mac and cheese.
And now, a word from our sponsor. From our sponsor. From our sponsor.
It's pretty horrible, and I shouldn't be doing things like that. It's very dangerous, and people can get killed.
And now, a word from our sponsor. From our sponsor.
I don't remember who I am. I don't know my name. Snuffabee. Huffabee. Fuckabee. Don't save that for later. I want to hear that in the fucking bit.
This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area. This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
One
should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area. This should be played at high volume, preferably in a residential area.
One, and it comes to two, to the three, and four. Then I drop the beat I have in store. Lay phonetics on the top like a frog. Make it sound smoother later. Make a dub. Enunciate well, so that you can tell. I am not illiterate. No, not even a little bit.
We'll be right back.
Radio Shack has the perfect gift for pedal pushers. The famous Archer bicycle radios that let you play Santa for as little as $9.95. Or give the original Road Patrol radio with built-in horn and reflector. Or really make them happy with this deluxe AM-FM model. All three disconnect quickly for safekeeping or off-bike use. Low-cost Archer bike radios. Only at Radio Shack, a Tandy company.
And now, back to the show.
Nice ad there. Got him back in on episode one. Per use.
Welcome back to the Super Show. That whole comment deserves a bell. And a round of applause.
About to do some fallout.
Doing some fallout shit.
We made it.
We are here. We took care of all of our chores. We're ready to lay into this super series on the Super Show. I am Sam Simeon. As always, I am joined by Calendar Wise and Belligerent Ben for the win. Benji Bats, give those gentlemen the bell. So we open with some of the most brilliant foreshadowing, question building, what the fuck. But because you know he becomes the ghoul, you see the hat, you're like, okay.
Well, let's set this up properly. Right. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. So I mean, we open up.
That is literally where it starts, is just him twirling the fucking rope around.
Well, we open up at a birthday party that's obviously from a different era.
Yeah, it looks like it's like the 20s, 30s, something like that.
Yeah, it looks like the 1950s, actually, Kellen.
Oh, yeah, 20s would be fucking Depression people.
Yes, that's correct. That's Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That's 1920s.
Yeah, you're right. We're a little bit further, sort of. But then we're far, far if you look at the city there in the middle.
So, pardon?
If you look at the city in the background.
Yeah.
Like the buildings are much more advanced than 1950.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
So, yes, I wanted to have a debate about, well, we open up at a children's party that is overlooking a large city that appears to be Indianapolis, or not Indianapolis, Los Angeles, sorry,
LA.
Derp.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is LA. It's where it takes place.
I mean, they're practically the same.
But it's very,
basically.
I mean,
it's very 1950s, and they're using cameras with flash bulbs.
Yeah.
And so
we like that, though, I think.
I mean, I love the style of it, but is this 2077 like it says in the video game, or is this actually the 1950s? They're driving fucking 57 Chevys and shit.
Isn't it 2277?
This is 2077, then
Fallout 4 is in 2200, 22 something.
Right, 2299, which is 219 years after
this.
Right. Basically. So they're trying to tell us that these actual cameras with actual flash bulbs, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand how this can be 2077. I don't understand. But anyway, whatever time it is, Bombs go off. Everybody starts freaking out.
Fallout is in reference to the nuclear fallout.
Exactly. So we're seeing Los Angeles getting bombed amid the scares from the communists and everything else. Like, bro, this can't be 2077. It can't be.
But whatever year it is, can we just admire how well done this is? I'm going to speak on the directing and all that stuff in a second. One second. Here you go.
No. I'm with you. Shit is dope, dude. It is visually splendid.
Walter Goggins is riding off into the sunset on a horse. I'm like, I don't think you understand how this works, bro.
Yes. So, speaking of that, can we give a moment to the star of this show? Walton Goggins of Justified fame. He's been in Ant-Man.
He's been in everything.
I would say he's the main character. I think Ella Purnell, a.k.a. Laura McLean, is the main character.
I think they both kind of co-share the... The lead, you know what I mean?
Like whole share.
Well, Maximus, I guess, would also be a lead then.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
I think they kind of are.
I'm talking about star power, not character strength.
Yeah, that makes sense. Gotcha. He does. Okay, makes sense. Yeah,
the star power.
On camera charisma is definitely. But I will say one thing: I feel like he stole from Timothy Oliphant is that cowboy walk, where you kind of walk pigeon-toed, and really, if you remember back. That walk was actually originated on when he played Agent 47 before all the cowboy stuff.
He had
that rigid gait, and almost knock-kneed. Very unique, but very close and vest. Kind of something that I thought they should have had Cad Bane walk with. But they also used Timothy Oliphant in there, and he had that same walk. So,
I've been watching Bad Batch. It's pretty good.
I got to get on that.
I'm in season 2 right now.
Season 3 is probably the best season so far.
Okay, I haven't seen season 3. It's better. I saw 1 and 2. But I need to get on that. I forgot all about that. But also there's a second season of Tales of the Jedi, I thought.
I don't know, it's 219 years later.
Yeah, this is where we're
at. And we arrive at our first main character, our first protagonist, Laura McLean, who is the daughter of not John McLean, but a character played by Kyle MacLachlan of Twin Peaks and Strippers and original Dune fame.
He's basically like their science guy, like kind of their go-to, it looked like.
No, he was the leader. He was like the mayor. He was like the overseer. That's what they called him.
Yeah, right. But they kind of have like a dip, system.
Yeah, they have like a tribunal. Like there's also a tribunal.
Right. So it's not just like.
I love the black guy. The pleasantly plump black guy is hilarious. But, he's in from a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's from Shang-Chi. Remember, he was the one with the camera on the bus.
That's right. He has been in a ton of shit.
Yeah.
Like, he gets a lot of action.
Yeah, so the premise now, like Benji was saying, it's 200 years later. Some people live on the surface, and they're all fucked up.
We haven't met them yet. But
we're meeting the vault people first.
Yeah, there's vault people living in a vault.
They
live in multiple vaults.
In a closed ecosystem.
In the game, there's like hundreds of vaults. So, this is Vault 33 that we're watching right now with them. They make
a trade.
We're
about to meet
Vault 32.
Purportedly Vault 32. And we find out that that's not actually Vault 32. Now,
because we need to
I'm going to take this show to task here for a minute.
That the point of this, when we join this story, is our protagonist Lucy is requesting to move on with her life by getting married to a favorable suitor from another vault.
Correct.
So she's passed all the tests. She's going to be wed to a...
But we need to kind of take a moment as well and just kind of talk about, like, these people have been in this vault since the 1950s with 1950s thinking and 1950s values and ways of interacting. There was a lot of hippie shit starting then. And a lot of the intellectuals inside this place display hippie-ish ideas. And so it's kind of funny because you also see these moments. It appears idyllic, but in like in a side comment, she's talking about fucking her cousin. Right. Just kind of casually throws that in there.
Captive in that vault.
Yeah, in her defense, you'd probably start to run out of some people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you would run through people pretty fucking quick. But you see that there are subtle differences and things that appear to be a little bit off about this whole situation.
Yes, for sure.
It is about that time that we...
But yeah, we get to the trade. It happens.
I feel like we should at least kind of get up to that point. So we basically join where...
See a wedding
Vault
service.
30, Vault 32 and Vault 33 are coming together.
And they're going to become two vaults of strength.
It was a trade. They gave them grain and technology, and in exchange, they gave Vault 33 a breeder.
Yes.
And so they're both going to go back to their respective spaces, at least Vault 33 thinks, and he's just going to remain there moving forward.
And be a breeder.
To knock her up and make babies.
Right. And,
at one point, he drops his pants, and she just looks at his dick and goes... Okie dokie, which is so fucking hilarious. Like, it's the future, but it's like retro at the same time.
And I love that about the show.
Yeah, that conflicting aesthetic and everything else is just very interesting. And it also involves the Old West upcoming here. And it's like... There's just so many different like archetypes at play that it almost feels like Westworld, right? Where you have these different like worlds like clashing into each other, which is, I mean, just nuts.
But we also get to a point that, okay, so they immediately...
So her brother sneaks over into Vault 32. He wants to know what they fucking got going on over there. I think his name is Norm. And he realizes that their vault has been down for a hot minute. All their crops are dead. Everybody's fucking...
Then he alerts everyone.
Crispy skeletons.
And everybody starts fighting and killing each other.
Yep.
It's so a pretty damn good fight scene, too.
Long story short, Vault 32 wasn't really Vault 32.
Right.
It was bandits.
Raiders.
It was Raiders.
Raiders!
That gained access
not to Not of the 32. Lost Ark, though.
Right.
They were not Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. They were just your ordinary Raiders.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with any ordinary Raiders.
Man, her eyeballs are big.
Well, she starts kind of, what's her name again? Fuck. Ella.
Lucy.
Or Lucy, yeah. Ella's her real name.
Yeah.
Laura McLean.
Yep, she starts getting kind of
That's her name in the show, Laura McLean. Yes, it is.
Lucy. I'm pretty sure. I think
it's Lucy McLean?
Yeah, no, it is Lucy. Her mom's Laura, isn't it?
Yeah, she's
Lucy. She's Lucy McLean. Okay, got it. But it's McLean.
Yeah, but like, she starts to realize that this dude's too he's too scarred up to be from the vault, and she hits him with her little.
Well, she hears a scream first, and then asks him a question, and then realizes what's up, and hits him with the what is that wrist thing called?
It's a Pip-Boy.
Pip-Boy. Okay,
it's got all kinds of function in the game, but basically it's a radiation meter.
She
scanned him for radiation, and he was hot.
She fucking hits him in the face with a blender, bro.
And look at these appliances. I'm sorry, these appliances are not from the future. This shit is from the actual 1950s.
But that shit is not
from the future.
But it looks good. So they're fighting. We're gonna see the fight, don't we?
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you get to see a man and woman fight, like fist fight.
Yeah, she gets stabbed and gets out, and everybody's fucked up.
Yeah.
She does get stabbed, that's true.
She gets stabbed.
And they have quick fixes for things in this. Like, you get hurt, and you just hit yourself with a stim pack, and you're like, oh, okay, my stab wound's gone.
So, because that's from the game, right?
And we're sewing fingers back on. It's like everything else.
It's like I think the game where you shoot yourself up when you're, like, near death, and it brings you back to full life, you know what I mean?
Right,
I think
that's
kind of what they're trying to depict here.
Yeah, there are some interesting touches in this that remind you this is based off of a video game.
Yes.
But you lose that for long stretches, right? And then you're like, oh, they just did some video game shit that they threw in for the video game players.
You got to do the same thing like with the radiation when you're playing the game. It's like you got to take radaways to make your radiation level go down. If not, it'll start to kill you. In this, they make it seem like you're going to turn into a ghoul. But that doesn't happen. You just die.
evidently that happened during the blast itself. Like, people that were at a certain distance from the blast epicenter became ghouls.
And it was this fight at the beginning that they really showcased this group, the soundtrack of this show.
Yes.
And they're playing like crazy jazz music while these motherfuckers are...
And
Oprah gets stabbed in the fucking eyeball with a fork.
Yeah, I didn't want to see that happen to her.
Now, her younger brother...
Homeboy came back with his face unblended.
What's his name? Norm? Her brother? Yeah, his name Norm? So. He played Bonesaw on Ender's Game. He was the bad guy that got his skull cracked when he was trying to bully Ender in the bathroom, and Ender just basically hit him with one shot, and dude was like skull crushed.
I've never seen Ender's Game.
Her dad hit him with the fucking shovel, bro. It's a
decent
bro.
Adaptation, but... Dune is still the best adaptation.
Oh, Ender's Game.
Other than part of the Dune Sin universe. City and Dune are actual recreations of the source material. It is not a translation. It is a recreation.
Oh, okay. I think I
see what I'm saying. Like, because like in Sin City, they were doing actual scenes. Like, they were going panel by panel through certain stories in Sin City, and they did the same thing in Dune. Like, they, I mean... You can read the book, and it's the dialogue in the movie. Like, it's literally...
Lucy's dad drowned homeboy in the pickles.
See, I have some issues with this, because...
I'm just saying, he doesn't
Moldaver need to get... and her father act like they don't know each other from the moment that that vault opens up, but then it's intimated at several moments that they do know each other, and I think it's even implied that Moldaver might be her... that might be Ella's mom.
Whatever it is creepy that this whole exchange. But so Vault 32 basically attempts to take over Vault 33 and steal resources.
I mean, shit, if it attempts to take it over, they do take it over.
Yeah, they take it over.
They take a moment or two.
And Maldiver. They live on their own. Was it Maldiver? Is that her name?
No, they've got some captured. Yeah. They've got like five of them captured.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're leaving on their fucking own. Here.
No, there's an explosion here, and then shit goes sideways.
Yeah, her dad dips with him. Like,
no, Moldaver only has like her dad, it's like her, like him, said, and like one other dude.
Well, I thought it was like
they have like five prisoners during several episodes of this show of the people that like some shit goes down. Like, there's about to be an explosion.
Yeah, I thought they had more people though, but they definitely take her dad.
They absolutely take her dad, I believe knows Moldaver, and Moldaver knows her dad. And then at one point, in a later episode, exactly. Yes, thank you.
So we don't get to meet her mom. She's presumed dead.
Well, she has a memory of a woman who is her mom, but I don't necessarily think Kyle MacLachlan is her dad.
Yeah,
I think she's the child of. I think she's. Moldaver's child, if anyone.
Oh my god!
What?
I've got some crazy theories going on with this. Yeah, dude, absolutely. Because at one point, someone tells her that Kyle MacLachlan was never in the, like, never born in the vault.
But I don't understand this. What they did is they blew up Vault 32. I didn't get. What was the point of that? You still have access to it. They just blew up the entry.
Yeah.
Vault 32 still exists, so if you just move the rubble, you go back. I don't get it.
Well, the theory would be that they don't have the capability to remove the rubble because it's large rubble.
You think so?
I mean, that's the theory. Okay, now we have arrived at the what is it called? The Brotherhood.
Okay. Which is a paramilitary
Maximus.
And we meet our first trans character.
They're basically the army in this time.
So
are they?
Yeah.
We meet our first trans character. There's a person with breasts and a mustache.
Oh, nice.
That's his best friend, Dane.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm sure we have plenty of...
I just didn't realize there were trans people in the future.
People with breasts and mustaches that listen to the Super
Transformers
Show.
Transformers in all places.
We're fucking global. So shout out to all those people who do said
things. There we go. There's Dane.
Dane included. Welcome you. This is a safe space for you to listen.
Possibly. We're not sure about being on the...
This place isn't safe for anyone. Show. Let's just be honest.
The world's most dangerous podcast, let's be honest.
It's not safe for anyone, including us.
Right, we're in danger ourselves.
I mean, that's true.
That's how dangerous this podcast
is. It's true.
So it is safe for us.
And yeah, and to each other, to ourselves.
So yeah, I guess it is a legitimate army.
Yeah, it's basically the army of the future. They wear these giant power armors, and that's something that you would do in the game, that or wear like clothing that would protect you from radiation. But if you're in one of those suits, then you're totally protected.
The Brotherhood of Steel is what it is. And they're all knights and squires.
Yeah. Yes, knights and squires.
So you have a knight who wears the suit of armor and a squire that is basically...
And there are no females anywhere, which makes this place highly sus to me.
Well, they have the one that's got a mustache.
Well, I think they're portraying this person as just a dude.
Nah.
Yeah.
Just
it's a dude. It's a parody.
Okay. Oh, goodness. So,
no,
explosion. We get all the people out. We have five prisoners, and we're going to decide what to do with them after we clean up the bodies.
Yeah, pretty much. So they didn't, all of the bandits or whatever didn't get out.
Yeah. Right. The explosion went off. Some died. Some got taken prisoner. And some escaped.
Yeah. Basically, they just wanted to take her dad and whoever with them and, you know, cause
chaos. Yeah, there's definitely a mystery going on here.
Yeah. I just like the pudgy dude because he just seems very happy to be in the vault.
Oh, he is so happy to be in the vault. He does not, he could not exist anywhere outside the vault.
Absolutely not. Which is why he should be in season two outside the vault.
And I didn't think that she could exist outside the vault, but she...
She was with the shits, though.
I mean, honestly, there was a couple points where two different characters said to her, you have to adapt if you're going to be out here, bitch.
And she did. Bravo to her. She did it.
Well, she did go through, like, at the beginning, whenever she's doing her, like, interview for, like, the wedding thing or whatever. I mean, she has, like, all different kinds of skills and shit. They taught her, like, combat and fucking technology shit, so...
Yeah, but 1950s combat, I don't think... Like, that has rules.
This is true.
In this future, there are no rules, which is why they are at such a disadvantage outside the vault, because there's no rules, and all they've known is rules since forever.
But they weren't really letting her go on her own. She freaking tranquilized the dude that basically...
They walked her ass there. They walked her ass there like they weren't going to let her out after they walked all the fucking way there. Nah, don't believe that for a second. She was banging her cousin. She could sweet talk him into anything.
She could.
And her little brother is a pussy, so he wouldn't stop her. Like, she could kick her brother's ass.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So she...
She dips out into the wasteland.
Right, and...
Then we head on back to the Brotherhood of Steel, and someone has put razors in Dane's boots.
Because Dane was picked to be a squire.
Yes, that's correct.
And
now Maximus gets interrogated at first and then promoted after the interrogation.
Right.
And gets sent out to Squire for Knight Titus, who we find out is Michael Rapaport in the future.
I loved him. I loved him. I was so glad when I saw his face underneath that mask. But let me ask this. Do you think they knew that and they just asked him these questions because, well, he was next in line anyway? Like,
They should make Maximus into Kang. He looks like a
Kang. He doesn't look like Wish fucking Jonathan Majors.
I mean, honestly, if you put a little bit of makeup on him and some muscles, he could be Jonathan Majors.
Yeah.
Let's get him in there for Kang. I think he could do it.
I thought they were doing Denzel as Kang.
Oh, fuck no. They
Who but just me?
And no.
So long story short, he gets to become
the Bumpy Johnson.
What you call him?
I mean,
he's the squire.
He's the squire.
I rewatched that the other day. That's a good fucking movie.
Well, he has to get a nice little brand on the back.
Bumpy Johnson when he's the crime lord in the 70s.
Frank Lucas.
Oh wait, he was working for Bumpy Johnson, right, and then he's Frank Lucas. Got it. Right. My bad.
Yeah.
Had those names.
Yeah. And that's one of the American Gangster.
So the guy that wakes up Walton Goggins, the black guy, he has been in a bunch of shit, too. He's been in, like, 300 fucking shows.
Is that, He was also in Justified. He was.
I never watched that show.
Limehouse in Justified.
Dude, he's in so much shit.
That's Forrest. That's a Bubblegum Shrimp. Yeah, Mackay.
Really?
It is?
Yeah, that's Bubblegum Shrimp.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with me?
Nah, he is right, man.
Yeah.
The voice doesn't sound right.
Is it Michael T. Williamson as Hancho, a bounty hunter who revives
Michael or Mikhail?
Right there, Mikhail T.
Mikhail T.
Yeah, he's right.
Mikhail T.
Yeah. But he was also...
It's like Michael T., but without... without spelling it with the T with the period. Michael T. That's the weirdest fucking name ever. Anyways.
Yeah. He was in... Free Willy. He was in Free Willy, Forrest Gump, Waiting to Exhale, Heat, Soul of the Game.
It wasn't Heat.
Con Air.
Yes, Con Air. That's what I kept thinking
Truth
about.
The Consequences, 12 Angry Men, Three Kings, Sister, the Delery Sisters, First One Injured. I don't know what that is. Black Dynamite, The Purge. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was in The Purge, too. He was the store owner.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, sweet. So,
he looks fucking sick.
We've now got Walton Goggins, the ghoul, woken up, who was the cowboy at the beginning. It's kind of funny. He portrayed a cowboy on TV and then decided to be one in the afterlife.
Right. Or kind of afterlife. He's like in between.
Which, so the ghoul is
he's old. They're dead, right?
Nah, not really.
No, because I watched something to prepare for this show about the ghouls, that certain people are just mutated into that.
Yes.
And they just, some of them are long living. He's like just one of the really longest living ones. But
I think
he kind of
breathing that shit in. And by the way, we saw a raider breathe an inhaler when they were in the middle of the group fight.
Yeah.
And now, so I believe that the ghoul inhalers have effects on regular people.
Or he doesn't want to become even to look like a ghoul. So he's like all radiated up, and it's probably just a puffer version of Rataway, the same thing. It looked like that's what they were pumping into.
Like, it's what the ghouls need to not go feral.
Yeah.
I think is how I understood it.
Same thing, but if you saw whenever they were about to wake him up, there were like what do you call them? Like the bags, IV bags.
And see, it was the there's stuff ads, bro. There's ads in your fucking Amazon Prime. They just did more.
You don't like that?
That can't be.
You can't handle it.
What do you mean that can't be? We just saw it again, dude.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see an ad. He's just been looking away from the screen.
Yeah, because I'm just making shit up.
Yeah, so that was the end of the first episode.
That was different episodes. Yeah, they might.
It's before each episode, there's an ad.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Bro, this dude's going to make my head fucking explode.
It doesn't do that.
It just did it before each of these episodes.
Actually,
that's true. I remember they sent me an email at one point telling me that I had to pay an extra $3.99 a month to completely have no ads, and I paid that $3.99 a month. You did not. That happened within the past month or two.
That's
They got to get them advertising dollars in.
Yeah, bro. Your Amazon Prime TV now has ads. Mine doesn't. That's why I was tripping the fuck out. I'm like, bro, my brain was like melting. I kept seeing ads on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, it doesn't work this way. How is this happening?
So we
meet. Now we got another protagonist.
Yeah, kind of.
for an episode.
Yeah.
Or two.
I don't know what's up with his head, to be
honest. He's from Lost. He's the guy from Lost.
The
evil guy.
The dog here is a reference to the game. You get, he's like your companion, so you have a dog that follows you around in the game, or you can switch it up for other companions.
And you can stab it and bring it back to life, which is crazy.
No, I don't know. That was crazy.
Bro,
just stabbed that fucking
people
dog.
People are like chopping shit off and stabbing motherfuckers, and then they're back like 30 seconds later. I'm like, didn't you just fucking die?
Yeah.
Like, I literally took a sip of a drink, and now you're alive again. And how did that even fucking happen?
Is the name of that the weirdo scientist And I thought this was this was too big a reach. I did not like this part.
Yeah, didn't like that either.
I did not like, the Gatling guns at close range, nothing hit him.
The opening scroll with Fallout, it changes like each time for the episode, if you have noticed or haven't noticed. I like that touch. We like it.
So Lucy's out in the world.
She wanna go search and find her dad, and she's
and we have a hilarious interaction with a local yokel.
Yes.
And what happened to the local yokel?
He's around here.
He's around.
He you talking about the chicken fucker?
No, that's later. No,
I thought it was around here.
Talking about the guy in his in the diaper. Oh, I think we're not there yet.
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, so she explores, camps out, and that doesn't. It attracts scientists.
Where the scientist comes and
has some foreboding conversation. He knows everything about her, where she grew up, all about the way it works inside. Even though no one should know how Vault 33 specifically works inside, yes, he knows all that shit. So that again implies that the people that are currently in Vault 33 did not start in Vault 33.
And there you have it.
It's like 100 years ago, Raiders like raided it and took it over and then became the Vault Dwellers and did all the shit that the Vault Dwellers were doing. I've got a lot of suspicions about this shit. This show has got lots of mysteries to it.
Maximus attempts to bond with his knight. And he asked him about some intimate details about his setup and rig on how he wears his
sword. I didn't think it was intimate. He was just trying to like be endearing and inquisitive, right?
To build a bond with the dude that he's about to go die in the wasteland with.
And so
he's like, I'm going to go shoot something. I'm going to get the squire killed. I swear to God, this whole thing is because he asked him some annoying questions. And he's doing this to try to get the squire killed.
Yeah. I kind of felt the same way.
But
it seems like the squires are pretty expendable, if you can't tell. They're in this fucking big old fancy armor. They've got them carrying the bag behind them.
And they're just wearing a cloth jumpsuit.
Right. And, I mean, obviously, they're going to run into some fucking shit out here. There's fucking irradiated everything. Even the cockroaches are huge.
They didn't give them some, like, tactical armor or nothing. Just, you're in a cloth jumpsuit. Good luck, buddy. Hope you come back alive. Yeah.
But I want to say how impractical having a regular human with no help carry that fucking bag is. That makes literally no sense. That they don't have a cart or something that this dude
and it's awkward as fuck. It's like the bag's bigger than you, literally. Yeah, that makes it's no literally sense. Larger than you.
It's like, because all the shit that they use is all huge, like those guns that they have and shit.
Yeah, but I'm saying the fucking knight should be carrying it.
Can't you put that shit on some wheels or something? Like, damn, man. Like, make it like luggage.
You don't fuck with those dudes.
You don't think so?
No, because they're hard to kill.
Noted.
Yeah, but didn't he show you...
Is that how you get the armor?
No.
You can get all kinds of sets from... I mean, you can take it from them, but you can find sets as well throughout the game.
Okay, good. All right, now I want to play more.
But is that far into it? Do you got to have a complete set? Is it stuff you got to do?
You can do it piece by piece, and then there's like different armors. Like I think he was talking about a T-60 armor, so it's like down the line.
T-60.
Like a T-01 or X-01s are like the first ones, so they're like kind of ghetto, if you will. Like, they'll protect you to some extent, but they're not fantastic. Mm. But it's cool. You can like upgrade your armor and change all your shit throughout the game. It's like a true fucking RPG. Like, pick shit up off the ground style RPG.
But also... shoot but first person.
Yeah, you can still shoot first person. You don't have to be first person, though. You can play third as well.
It's got all kinds of shit.
You kind of see some of it.
Why is aiming such a fucking amazing skill?
Who fucking cares? Some setups or whatever, you can do different things. So I think it's called like the VATS system or whatever. You can like press one of the buttons and you can select like six different people. And then you like try to shoot them one by one. Sometimes you'll hit their heads. I mean, you can aim at different parts of them too, and then like this is slow motion when it's happening, and then it all kind of rolls out. So it's kind of like makes it semi turn based ish, but not really. But that's how you can like do shooting and all kinds of shit. It's pretty decent.
So obviously we walk into a cave,
a bear's cave,
in an area where we know that there are what do they call them? Horrors, I think is what they call them. Horrors.
Is that what he was?
Yeah. And we find an irradiated bear that's become a mutant fucking bear.
Mutant bear.
And
it attacks the knight.
Fucks him up.
And wins the fight.
Yeah, fucks him up. And the only reason why the knight is alive is because Maximus saves him by shooting the bear in the head. And then he proceeds to talk shit to him.
Yep.
Michael Rapaport.
Michael Rapaport
once he pulls
his knight Titus. Michael Rapaport.
Man, whoever said...
Man, that bear, dude.
Knight Titus. He's Knight Titus for about 2 more seconds. Then fucking Maximus jacks his armor and assumes his identity.
Oh, I just thought about this. Mm-hmm. He also was in Justified. He was the villain.
Rapaport was?
Yeah, he was the villain from Florida in one of the seasons.
Interesting.
So there's three Justified people in this show.
The villain from Florida.
I wonder if that's a...
It was excellent, too.
I wonder if somebody from that show is... Like a showrunner or like a writer or something like that.
That is a good question. I'm going to see because the showrunner is...
We've arrived at...
Mr. Diaper.
Mr. Diaper. So she's Lucy's back on the prowl going through the wasteland. And she...
I got to stop. Newsflash. I know you did not know this when you said this.
I don't think
this,
I've ever sneezed on air before.
But this is how sick this was that you said this. I just noticed a detail. Jonathan Nolan is a British, an American screenwriter and producer. He is the creator of the CBS science fiction series Person of Interest and co-creator of the HBO science fiction western series Westwood.
Westworld.
And
Westworld.
So you said you get vibes of Westworld. Isn't he brother of
Chris Nolan?
Now that I didn't check. Let's see.
I think they're the Nolan brothers, and I think they've done things together, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, while you're checking on that, Lucy comes across a guy.
Sir.
Yep. Lucy comes across a guy living in a shack, banging on a still, and he keeps pouring sand in the water filter and doesn't understand why no water's coming out since it's just sand in the water filter.
Which I didn't understand.
She's like, I can't fuck with him.
It showed he's fucking simple and dangerous.
Bro, he is simple.
And dangerous because he's that fucking simple.
And this begins her string of saying, I'm okay, thank you. Every time someone puts something repugnant in her face or asks her to do some weird shit, her standard reply is, I'm okay, thank you. Oh, now we've made it to the chicken fucker.
Yep.
Oh my God! This is
first interaction with people,
bro. This scene might be the best scene in all of television. It just might be. This dude has assumed the identity. He's trying to be a hero. He sees a dude getting beat up. He intervenes to save the poor man that's getting beat up. Yes. Come to find out that the dude was getting beat up because he was fucking the other guy's chickens.
He's like, this is a vile place.
Yeah.
And he called it his research.
I like that because it said, off top, you're out here now, and this is how we get down out here. So you may be saving somebody who is a actual fucking chicken fucker, man.
Are Ella Purnell's nipples sticking out there for a second?
Maybe.
Thought I saw a little nipplage there. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I will say that a disappointing maybe thing about just, these types of streaming shows on these services is they never report the amount of money spent and made on these particular productions.
I don't necessarily care. I don't really always understand the obsession with that information. I more focus on my enjoyment. I just focus on my enjoyment. If I liked it, I liked it.
Yeah,
if
so she's
I didn't,
going
I didn't.
Through her first kind
I don't
of like
give a shit if it made money.
Encampment or like little setup town.
Philly. So she's gone from she's walked from Los Angeles to Philly.
Pretty much.
That's what happened, guys.
They're off.
Do we believe this?
No, because it's Philly with an F. So we don't know how far.
But it implies that it's Philadelphia.
Yeah, but it's not. See, it's just in the woods of Los Angeles. It's nowhere near Philly.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, it's nowhere near Philly. It's just what they're calling
this. Yeah, the game is like super just around, based around L.A. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they just call it that. That's why.
Okay. I don't know if I believe that. I feel like it definitely implies
that it's Philadelphia. John Nolan, you were right about that. He is Christopher Nolan's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And this also gives me a lot of credence as to why I enjoy this so much. Because Christopher Nolan's brother did this. He directed this episode.
But he's not just Christopher Nolan's brother. He did Westworld.
Right, but I'm saying
he's Jonathan fucking Nolan.
He's directing these episodes, what we're seeing. He's not just on the executive side.
Right.
This literal episode... he did, which is fascinating to learn. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
The Target is the name of this episode.
Correct.
And I just liked really something that I haven't been able to mention in covering this to this point that I want to say is it's fucking beautiful. Not really overly colorful like the beauty of Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse 2. Not that kind of beauty, but I'm talking about the richness of the colors on the screen. The if you notice how peaked and flush her skin complexion and tone is versus basically everybody out in.
Well, they put blush on her. She's fucking Asian, bro.
it works for the character though.
And it's so crazy. I swear to God, she's adopted or some shit. Like they're like, I don't think she's actually Kyle MacLachlan's daughter.
But why do her eyes look like that?
Because she's fucking Asian, dog. Half Asian, half white.
Which is working. I would give her.
She's gorgeous.
Work.
But she was also has portrayed Dave Bautista's daughter. Like, yes, I mean, it's just like I don't understand how we keep getting told that she's a white person when she's clearly.
Because Hollywood likes ambiguous and. Just
the ambiguously gay duo. And the ambiguously gay duo.
Look at his nose, perfect, man.
Dude, that shit fucked me up.
That's
man.
The only thing that CGI'd on that setup. He's all in that that prosthetic or whatever. It took like 5 hours to do it. They said
it's craziness. Yeah, we're seeing Philly, and the scientist is getting bounty hunted by the ghoul. And, of course, her naive self decides that she's going to intervene and put a stop to it and bring this all to a peaceful conclusion, which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious. But, of course, this was my first point that I realized this was real stakes because I said he can't last very long. Yeah. When the ghoul blows the scientist's fucking foot off with his shotgun.
That's another game thing. You can, like I said, you can target limbs and shit. So certain dudes, you want to shoot their leg and probably not sit there and fuck with them. You can run away from them. Like, you can knock off limbs, heads. Huh. Yeah. It definitely referenced to the game, but we would get to watch the ghoul fucking take out the entire town.
And in a blink, and you'll miss it moment a little bit later in this scene, he attaches a new limb, and he's walking with a crutch. After his foot just got shot off.
Yes.
5 minutes later, he's walking with a mechanical limb and a crutch.
Mind you, it doesn't work out in his favor.
It doesn't, but still, it... He ends up hilarious to me. And bottle caps are their form of currency.
Apparently, which bottle I don't caps get.
Nuka-Cola is like Coca-Cola.
Right.
And so in the game, you can get regular, or some of them are like irradiated. They're like bright fucking blue.
Now I know we're doing fantasy, and you're suspending belief. I am
on disbelief.
Board. You're suspending disbelief.
Thank you.
But I am on board. But now they're really pushing it, which they could have done a thousand different things. But they're really pushing it on the fucking got his leg blown off and he doesn't bleed to death instantly.
We've already used 40, bud.
It's instant.
Which means we should be at half.
I don't see him just bleed out. I can't believe in it. He should have bled out. His foot was blown off.
I agree. He should have bled out, but again, we're in a video game world, buddy. Yes. We're suspending our disbelief here. We're
suspending our disbelief.
We can't have disbelief. We need to suspend it.
He can get hit with one of those stim packs and keep going.
Yeah, stim pack, bro. Just slap a limb on.
That's what I'm saying.
As we find out later, you can just attach someone else's finger to your hand and use the finger.
that his foot is blown to guts, which is completely
So when possible. She gets that new finger later on, when she masturbates, is it like...
Somebody else is doing it?
Yeah, exactly. Like it might... Would I wonder if it feels different.
Well, it's not her finger, so...
Right.
I mean, it has to... And it's fucking dead, so I'm sure it does...
What if it was an ugly person's finger?
That probably would be outstanding at finger stimulation.
So Maximus,
that's actually good logic. Wow, that was that's really good.
Maximus shows up after the fact and tries to fight the ghoul. Ghoul fucks him up. Sends him flying.
And
it's enough time for the doctor and her to get out, and that's pretty much the end.
We see the chicken fucker again.
Yes, he's back in the fantastic town.
Yep,
indeed.
And he also has proven to be, I think, in the future to be a medical background.
Now, the old ass lady that was talking shit to Lucy in the beginning then decides to send the scientist with Lucy across the desert to his destination, Moldaver, which, oh, just so happens to be the person that kidnapped her dad. What a small fucking world.
Well, she told her that she was looking for her, so I think that's why she sent him with her, because she knew that she would want
right.
to get
yeah,
to
I mean, it all, what a small fucking world, Kellen.
But dude says that she can cut his head off. And
because he can't go any further.
Yeah, can't go any further. He decides to take some cyanide because he's a pussy and doesn't like walking.
Right.
He's sick of walking, so he's going to take cyanide and end his life.
In addition, his whole entire leg exploded into a robot foot.
And then he hands her a chainsaw and says, chainsaw my head off and bring my head to Moldaver.
Bring his head to Moldaver because the head, even without the rest of his body, is crucially important.
Moldaver's going to be getting some head. Getting some head.
getting some head.
So, add, bro. Add. There add.
There you go.
Proof.
He saw it.
No, that's because it's a good time for us to do an ad.
Yep.
We'll be right back. To be a woman.
It's harder to be a man.
No, it's harder to be a woman.
No, to be a man.
Women have to deal with menstruation, pregnancy, childbirth, breastfeeding, hot flashes, menopause.
Men have to deal with women. Women.
This is Avery Dufresne. I am 11 years old and I am addicted to the Super Show. Series 3 to me is like K-pop is to you stuffed shirt and warmy douchebags. The most epic shit.
This is Harvey Wallbanger. Here with some advertisements from our local sponsors. Tylenol Hard Seltzer, when you really want to drink the pain away. The world's first convertible TV from Sylvania. It's a console. It's a portable. Like two sets for the price of one. Keep your eye on Sylvania, the fastest growing name in sight. Barbecue Mountain Dew. Bold. Barbecue. Zesty. Carolina Gold flavor coming soon. Oldsmobile 1975 Cutlass Supreme would look great at any price. At $4,048, it looks beautiful. It's a good year to have an Olds around you. Available at Mudderton, Auto Sales, and Hair Supply. Ireland, the land of eternal youth. Great Southern Railways, for particulars of tourist bookings, etc. Apply to Ronald Lopez, traffic manager. Or tourist agencies. Now back in stock. Tupac skin suit hoodie. Accurate tattoos. Bandana not included. Available at Loki's Liquor and Check Cashing. And now back to the Super Show.
Don't touch that tap. We'll be right back.
Coming soon. The Wayne Foundation presents an opportunity for Mudderton's business community to network and collaborate. It's the Ollie Follies. Beautiful women, luxurious locales, titans of industry, movers and shakers. Shakers and movers. A 3-mile yacht trip around the town of Mudderton. And by yacht, we do mean Leon's daddy's pontoon. He worked here too. The town of Mudderton was kind enough, after a substantial donation to the Sheriff's New Tasers Fund, to paint the banks of the Hiaguchi River green and lush. They painted right over the trash and junk, and it looks great. invited Mutterton luminaries, Paul Shawcroft of the Amoco gas station, and you know local tycoon Donnie of Donnie's Discount Me Warehouse will be there. Whore Divers, catered by Mutterton's own Wingstart. Chicken and Wings, Donnie's newest restaurant. Come join us for the 6 laps around the Hiyaguchi River. See the homeless encampment on the banks, throw coins, or clean socks at the hobos from the safety of the river. Also, performing together for the first time in years, the greatest band ever, if not longer, local legends, Fat Backs and Bacon Grease. And I'll say it again, backs are fat and greasy. Original second lead singer Rusty Nails is back out of rehab and he's completely jitter-free. Don't miss this trip. Tickets available at Loki's Liquor and Check Cashing. And now, back to the Super Show.
And back to the Super Show. We are getting through the episodes. We are on episode 3, which is The Head. Also directed by Jonathan Nolan. Little brother to a little genius we like to call Christopher Nolan.
Both geniuses.
Both geniuses. Is giving
anyone that did Westworld is a fucking genius.
Wrote and directed that.
Just oh my god.
Yep. All of it was his idea.
What the fuck is happening right now?
That is magnificent.
Yes, I'm kind of stupid.
Joined where Maximus Jesus. Assumes Titus's identity, because obviously, as we spoke on that, they killed, he let Titus die. Well, he kind of let him die in the last episode.
And then drug his body out of the armor.
Then drug his body out of the armor and proceeded to be the knight in the armor instead. Is that correct?
Sounds about right.
To the beginning? Or no.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly how that happened.
Accurate tattoos.
So which is weird because I thought the name of this episode was The One. Beginning.
No. Is this we are, dude.
No.
Calm down, Ben.
It just said The Beginning of
Season 1. See? Episode 3. It's a flashback from when he was actor.
Okay.
He was doing his TV show.
Mm. Yeah.
And where he meets the lady.
That's what I thought he'd meet her, because they're already married there. That's what I thought, too.
And his kids.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting...
they were just flirting.
We're getting the flashback, though. He's, he wants to find the lady.
I swear to God, that's the same inhaler that raider had. It's got an effect on humans. It does something... It keeps him alive. I don't know what it does to humans.
It keeps him from going feral.
Right.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But...
I'm assuming that it's some of that Rataway shit.
But can we take a minute to talk about how awesome the story of the dog's arc has been? The dog has been through everything and has now become the faithful companion of the ghoul.
I was glad to see them bring the dog back to life. Yes, when he fucking stabbed the dog, I was like, oh, they didn't.
Yeah.
We're so down now, to like 15 minutes an episode right now. We're going to try to get through this, folks.
Yeah. So it's now they're carrying the head with them as they reach. She's like carrying the head across the wasteland to Moldaver.
Moldaver. Moldaver.
What kind of name is that?
Moldaver.
Yeah, so Maximus is getting sent a new squire. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want it. And it ends up being the dude that was kicking his ass.
Yeah, the guy that was bullying him at the beginning ends up being his squire in a moment of irony.
Yeah, she's Lee Moldaver, the commander of the new California Republic Military Division.
We don't know that yet, though. They don't even say that during the show, so.
Why don't we? It's right here on the general information.
Right, but you're giving away mysteries on the show that we don't know yet.
What do we think she was?
A raider.
A raider, that's why he said Christ. That. I don't know how he thought that the wind was coming with the toilet seat. That was pretty...
I mean, he did a pretty good job for a minute.
Yeah, let's talk. They're let's trying let to, the people know what steal, we're talking about.
They're trying to steal his armor.
right? And he's fighting four people. Yeah. He's fighting four bandits trying to take his armor.
He is Maximus.
Just in time before his new squire shows up.
And it's that asshole.
His ex-tormentor is now been sent to be his...
And possibly the person wife. That injured Dane.
Yes.
Yes.
The Transformer.
To get him in trouble.
Yes. Yes.
So, we have Law. We're about to lose the head.
Yep.
To what they refer to as a gulper, because her naive self has to pet a deer by the water. Dying. And then gets attacked.
By that's what it's called, a gulper?
Yep.
Well, the gulper
that's,
reached
that's what up. The ghoul calls the thing, a gulper. It's got fingers inside its mouth, and it's fucking weird, bro. That thing is disturbing. Yeah. It's like a giant gecko with fingers in its mouth.
Now it just eats shithole.
I'm also going to say that this is also a spot that I struggled with, because there was a little bit of a reach there with the whole, of course, she loses the head 5 minutes after she gets it.
Well, it's not like it would take him very much to look for it, and it's not like she has it on her person, so, I mean, obviously doesn't have it.
It was way too easily snatched.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Should have been in the backpack. Yes. Why wasn't it in the backpack? She's got his head attached to her belt.
Yes,
snatching it was convenient.
Because that's what you do with severed heads. You don't put them in your knapsack.
No.
You attach them to your belt.
No.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah, I was unhappy with that. Like I said, I loved it. I liked it. I will watch it again. I can't wait. Apparently, this has been renewed for season 2, so I'll give a bit of that.
And we're seeing Norm have issues, because everyone else inside the vault wants to rehabilitate these murderous prisoners, and Norm's the only one like, why would we do that?
Right. Well, at first, they try to like give them beds and shit like that, and eventually they have them like with fucking cones on, so they're not like biting themselves.
Right.
Like, so he's like, why the fuck don't we just
kill
these
people? They're literally like animals. Like, they do not behave like actual human beings, even on the surface.
Right.
The people in Philly were more well-mannered and orderly than these motherfuckers.
I did like how they were doing the dunking technique when they start dunking her in the, when he starts dunking in the water.
Uses her as lure.
That was pretty clever.
Their stories are kind of intertwined. Maximus comes across the severed... Or the corpse without a fucking head.
Yeah, everybody's after the head.
Yep, everybody wants the head. Like, Brotherhood
like
it, wants
like
it.
In life, everybody wants head.
This is true.
Trying to get some head.
Yeah, getting some head. Getting some head. Getting some.
Yeah, but
that's too short.
They're using her as bait to try to get the fucking head back from
the
gulper.
The freaky tales. These are the tales that I tell so well. You don't like my dirty raps. You can go to hell. Two shorts telling cocktails.
Oh, and what's it called?
A gulper.
A gulper.
But if you,
disgusting.
I mean, we'll get there, I guess.
Man, that finger shit fucked me up when I saw
that.
Me
too.
Bro, they had like fingernails and shit. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just fingers. Like, somebody had to clip them fingernails.
Yeah, that was
like, how does that even happen?
That was a well done monster right there, because that's disgusting.
And it's like a gecko, basically.
A mouth full of fingers. You wouldn't think that. Ugh, you don't want nothing to do with that.
Oh, it's a mouth of fingers.
And it's like a salamander.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And the ghoul is a dick, man. He just he's very abusive of sweet little Lucy.
Yeah, but Lucy could get it in this wasteland, and clearly she's with the smoke. So he should have just been like, "Hey, what's up with a quick romp?" She'd be like, what'd she say? Okie dokie. I mean...
I hope so.
I mean, she already's proven that you just gotta ask her. I mean, that's all you can do is ask her. I mean, she's up for it. I also wanted to comment on how good the ghoul looks. Like, he looks completely in character, just an absolute badass. He looks like there should be more stories about just him and how far he got here. Which I'd imagine, I don't know this game,
well,
mythos.
I mean, shit, he looked like he was locked up there for a minute in that coffin. I don't know if he was, like, you know, just in prison there, or...
I thought it said, like, they keep putting him back there.
Yeah.
In a pretty cool moment between Maximus portraying Knight Titus and his former tormentor, the his now squire, he asks him to say something negative about him, and then he actually admits that he bullied Maximus. And there you kind of see Maximus kind of soften to him a little bit. And realize that there's a little bit of humanity in both of them, which was a cool moment. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and it was necessary, kind of, not completely, because obviously they still interact with each other, but a closure of that moment from earlier when you first met those two characters. That kind of that first arc closed, because the last you knew of that one character was how what kind of dick he was, and then they show this moment of compassion, because he surely... He didn't have to say that, but in all fairness to the, he thought he was talking to Titus.
Right. Like he, like it was an honest, real moment, which I enjoyed. Now we're at this end and man, they're having like a conversation and a group meeting about how they're going to rehabilitate these murderers. And they're talking to him about teaching them Kant and Shakespeare and shit and calculus and algebra. And I'm like, get the fuck out of there. These motherfuckers are...
But, you know, it's like, of course, in the 50s especially, but any purity situation, they always don't see the reality of what kind of people are. You know what I mean? So they're always looking to, you know, just like when you have the, what is it, the Mormons or the, who is it, the ones that come with the white shirts and the black ties?
Yeah, Mormons.
Mormons.
Yeah. And they... Okay. Motherfuckers on bikes.
Yeah, they're trying to...
they're just biking everywhere.
They're promoting the purity of their religion, you know what I mean? But you're promoting it to people that aren't living pure. So, you know what I mean?
It's right.
That's not people who are going to take advantage of that. You should be somewhere who's they're kind of already religious, but
like,
not
these motherfuckers can't read. You're talking about teaching them Shakespeare. Teach them to fucking read.
Right. Now, I thought this was a pretty good visual when that fucking, what's it called?
The gulper.
The gulper jumped out of the water. Because it is a fucking nasty looking fucking thing, man. Man.
About to attack Knight Titus, and then the squire shoots him in his cloth jumpsuit. The gulper goes after him. And this dude gets gulped.
And then I was like, man,
dude.
I feel like at this point it was taking too long for him to do something. So I'm like, this dude would not be in the shape to get pulled out.
I thought he was going to get like pulled out in half.
Oh, you know I mean? Thought, yeah, no, I thought the torso. Well, you hear the ghoul say earlier that the thing digests very, very slowly.
Right.
And so he's like, I'm just going to leave and come back and get the head later. Because I need to get some vials and I'm going to sell this bitch into slavery. No, I'm going to sell this bitch into organ harvesting for two vials.
Man, this was disgusting, man. And then basically...
What's disgusting for our listeners? Oh, please tell them.
The insides...
You pulled the guts out.
The guts of the group... What's this? The gulper?
Bro, there's like kids' toys. There's a barbell... There's a toaster. There's a toaster that the thing threw up. Man.
Now, and
that's pretty funny.
I felt like the bonding of this would have been stronger based on the fact of truth of the matter is no matter what's going on, that dude almost died. He was gone. He was a goner.
Yeah, which pisses me off with what happens later. And now they've found the head and the dog's licking it.
And I thought this was also a reach. Like I said, I'm going to say again, I really like this. So I may be suspending more disbelief than I normally
do. Well done. Well done, Sam Simeon.
They find a head, and all I'm saying is, why would they keep it?
Well, first of all, there's only one thing in the middle of the neck. There should be a spinal column and a throat, but it's only got one of those two. I don't know which one it's saying that there is. Well, so it was not a very good depiction of a severed head, in my opinion. Well,
it was the way she cut it off. It's just her technique.
It's not going to eliminate the trachea or the spinal column.
Some people are that good, though.
No.
Like they're
it just very, looked like a cartoon ham bone with that bone in the middle.
Yep, in the middle.
Yep, that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, And I thought it was funny that they had him in the outfit.
This is not 2077. Can we all agree? Can we all please agree?
When is it? Let me see.
It's supposedly 2077.
Yeah, that's before the bombs go off.
When the bombs go off, it's 2077. I was looking. I was doing my show research today.
When we end with that flashback, you can tell that Lucy's starting to get like radiations, so she needs some like rats or something like that to get
some rataways.
Right. Well, and she's fucking dehydrated because he won't fucking give her any water.
All right, let's not fight with Amazon Prime. Come on, Amazon Prime. Oh, you know, don't be a bitch.
You know it wants to show you an ad.
Let's skip the ad because it got us for the it tacked us for the last one.
Gotta go to the recap ski.
Man, I'm telling you, Walton Goggins plays a tall, thin gunslinger like a motherfucker.
A plus.
Dude, he gives Timothy Oliphant a run for his money.
He does.
I don't know which one's better.
So we are.
I'm sitting here debating which is the one.
We're about to cover the ghouls. It's episode 4.
We open up with a fucking 3-foot cockroach climbing inside a window. Fuck's sake.
They're fucking everywhere in the game.
Bro.
This episode is directed by Daniel Gray Lugino.
Interesting.
Lucy's
definitely having problems. We're struggling.
First feral ghoul, or potentially feral ghoul.
Oh, he's going feral, all right.
Yeah, he's freaking out.
He tells her to stay away.
She's never seen anything like that either.
Right. And obviously, Walton...
They look like little vials of rats, and I'm assuming that it kind of has the same effect. Like, if they keep their radiation level down, then they don't go to, like, the next stage. You know what I mean?
But man.
They make them look real good, though, with their fucking skin peeling and shit like that.
Yeah. Get them out of... Get them out of here.
You can tell he's got a little bit of sympathy for the dude going feral. Like, he kind of gets him talking about a nice memory. So he's thinking about something nice before he goes and blows his fucking feral brains out.
Blows his feral
kind of for fucking no reason. Out. I wasn't expecting that at all. But he wanted to start... fucking pilfering his teeth and make some ass jerky.
Well, that happens too, but I think it... I mean, he kind of gave him a nice little send-off, you know? Like, had him think about something nice before he went. And he needed to put him out of his misery anyway. Like, fuck it. Like, can't have feral... Like, those fucking feral things were disgusting. And when we see them later on in this episode in full force.
I feel like it was a mercy.
It was, right. That's exactly what I was saying. And he's like, well, I went the mercy route, but I still need to get my ass jerky.
We're still talking about trying to rehabilitate the people that are trying to bite their own
fingers. Like, bro, they're really into that idea. They want to rehabilitate some motherfuckers.
They're pure. They believe in all of that.
That's why they cannot survive on the surface anymore. They need to stay in that fucking goddamn vault.
Yeah, this part where that finger, man, was... I
feel like Walton Goggins lost a lot of weight for this role.
Yeah.
I feel like he really, and he's not a fucking big dude to begin with, but he really fucking slimmed down.
I love the Buddy Holly music.
Man, all the music.
All the music in there is just brilliantly, because I feel like it contrasts, well, it fits perfectly in contrast how they have basically futuristic past stuff.
Yeah.
Like you said, like the Jetsons almost.
Well, we've seen some shows like that too, though, where it has like that 80s feel, but then they'll still have cell phones. You know what I mean?
Right.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. We run back into the old girl that got stabbed in the eye with a fork. And she's. Her husband got killed. Yeah. And she's
super hooking up pregnant with the cousin fucker.
Yep. She's fucking.
She's trying to fuck while she's about to have a baby.
And I was.
And he gets in there and he goes, wow, that's really wet.
Yeah.
What a great line.
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds later, her water breaks.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The putting on of Bert's clothing and the calling him Bert was a little bit...
Realistic.
Yeah,
a little bit crazy. They do fucking oddball shit, man.
Well, the ghoul takes her to the Super Duper Mart, which is real in the game. You can go there and do all kinds of shit.
I mean, can you take prisoners to get their organs harvested?
I can't remember what all the shit you can do in there, but I know you can go in there and buy shit.
Yeah, there was no buying shit in this version of the Super Duper Mart.
Yeah.
This is where you take your prisoners to get their organs harvested. That's correct.
Which is weird at first because the robot's nice, gives her a finger back. She's like, oh, we're good.
Yeah, like that shit threw me off. I'm like, why are you putting a finger on her if you're going to harvest her organs? That doesn't make any sense.
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
For practice.
Yeah, for practice.
Those little medical bots are all over the game, too.
But I like how he played a great character, the droid.
Yeah,
he was fun.
You know, we like our robots.
There was one in the house at the beginning where the party was too. Yeah. Like as the camera pans over, you just kind of see it just sitting in the corner.
Yeah, I like to see how the little Norman starts to develop.
Further evidence that this is not 2077. The computer screens, like all the computers that they're fucking with. Is shit from the actual 1950s, not 2077 made to look like the 50s.
Yeah, but think about it. It was the same way in John Wick, though. Those computers looked like MS-DOS, too. And that was in 20-whatever, and their computers still look like that.
I always supposed that they were using those computers not for their computing power, but for their inability to be connected to the internet.
Yeah, that could be.
It could be.
I mean, if all you're doing is like tabulations and keeping records, then those computers are fine to do that with.
But now, have we still? I don't know. I mean,
so they're fully exploring Vault 2 now. Norman, the cousin fucker,
32. Yeah,
32.
Or did I say 32? Yeah, 32.
And a thing we've kind of downplayed
there's definitely
is that
dead bodies everywhere.
During this time, they're going to be electing a new. What is the name for the person that runs the vault?
The overseer.
The overseer. They're going to be electing a new vault overseer for 32.
Jackie Brown, Lieutenant Uhuru.
Yes. So they're waiting for that vote to come in, which changes the fact that they're going to attempt to. They're trying to recolonize. Which my question, because we just saw it on screen.
Lucy skirts the murder bot. And hits it with electricity.
I was sad we kind of skipped through that part because her escaping from that thing was utterly preposterous.
Yeah.
Complete, total video game moment. He comes in to slice her organs open and she just happens to kick the blade at the right time so it hits her restraint and now she's free and then overpowers the murder bot.
But I think that's just girl...
No, it's just video game shit, dude. I mean, it's not like it's not. That same shit isn't happening in other instances here to other gendered characters. And transformed gendered characters. But I thought these dudes were supposed to be Beavis and Butthead. Like, did you guys notice that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they were supposed to be like Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. They literally were sitting there laughing and they go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. They said, you might as well be holding an air conditioner hostage. It's a robot.
Now, the bad guy on the left was in Free Guy. He was the...
Yeah.
He was Channing Tatum was his avatar in the game.
Yeah.
And his mom kept vacuuming while he was broadcasting to his...
Now, see, that dude was a ghoul.
Subscribers.
One of those people that they released was a ghoul. Now, the one that they still have kind of like locked in...
When she forces them to open the feral ghoul pods, like I think, and she sees all the shit that ensues, she actually gets these two guys killed because of her naive, gung-ho bullshit.
Naivete.
Well, but it's both a combination of being naive and being gung-ho. Yes. About being so right naive and correct.
But at first it's cool.
A naive ho.
At first it's cool to let out the ghouls that are like, you know, still not freaking out on anybody. But then, then but she lets out all the feral ones.
Feral, and those motherfuckers.
She said, oh gosh.
And she, like, Beavis and Butthead die because of her.
That was a very good point. True.
Like, that shit is fucked up. And I think she has that realization, and it's kind of a moment of enlightenment and epiphany for her.
An epiphany.
Correct.
I like it. and you see
Death to Management. So we're That's a nice little mystery. I've been wanting to
ask though. So I still, even I know we got more episodes on that. So in the very beginning, ever do we ever know what the fuck happened to Vault 32? The original people that
you finished the show. You know that we don't know yet.
Nope.
We still don't know even at the end of the show.
That's it.
It's not the end of the show. It's been renewed for season two.
Yep.
Oh, that's what you mean. But that's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so they were like in the middle of it. They think that they like were killing themselves.
We're unraveling the mystery. We can't bust our nut on the mystery at the end of the first season and then renew it for more seasons.
Homeboy, the ghoul needs...
The nut gets busted at the end of the series.
This is indeed true. That's generally how nuts happen.
True.
So if there was a question about nuts happening...
And then I tell her to get off me and just stop touching me. And then I tell her I'm hot, and then I tell her I want something to drink. Yeah. That's usually how that goes.
I've been there before.
But look at Lucy. After the motherfucker cut her finger off and everything, she gave him the meds.
Golden rule, motherfucker!
But the point of that was awfully convenient that he cut her finger off one scene before. The next scene, she gets a fully functioning finger back.
Just like the scientist got a functioning foot immediately after he got his shit shot off. Just like she got a functioning liver after her liver got stabbed in episode one.
Hardly functioning.
And that's about where they land the plane. He makes his way in there and wants to go get all the meds that they have. Obviously, makes sense. And that's the first half.
He gets like a whole crate of shit, like raids the whole thing. And he's got like tons and tons and tons and tons of vials. He can live forever. He's good to go.
I'm glad to see it. I was happy that happened for him in story.
But they don't say it's vials of Radaway. I want to know what the fuck it's a vial of.
It's a necessary vial, that's for sure.
It's something.
It looks like it.
So are we grading the four? Are we waiting to eight?
We can wait till the end. I would assume it's probably going to be pretty similar grades.
I mean, I don't know. I felt like the episodes were a little bit different, each one.
So you're saying graded as a whole?
I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily have an opinion, but I saw quality differences and weird shit depending on the episode.
So what you're saying is you want to grade each one individually?
I didn't say that. I don't feel like I need to say it a third time, so I'll just leave it at that. I'm amenable to any measure of arrangements. There you go.
Let's grade it collectively on the end at eight of them. How about that? We'll do a full grade of the series.
To record that part two at our next recording session. So the next episode of the Super Show that you will hear, we actually have a schedule with a calendar. We know what order we're doing things in now, which is a little bit new for us. So
yeah, you know, we're trying to get organized.
It's very fancy.
Life gets normal.
It's very fancy. Again. So, of course, again, I want to thank everybody for listening around the world. That's like a real fucking thing. So shout out to all the listeners.
Did we have any new countries this week?
We did have a 56th country, but I didn't get a chance to.
All right, we'll cover that in
series four, episode two.
Of
right,
the Super Show.
Right, so until next time.
This has been The Super Show, the world's most dangerous podcast. This is a lock picking a sixth grader in Utah's juvenile system, Avery Dufresne. We want to thank you for listening, and you better have downloaded this shit. I've been on the run, but I heard my old customer Principal Hanley got fired. Apparently he was stealing cafeteria meat patties and selling them to the homeless. He had the nerve to tell me my buds ain't stinky no more. So I gotta lower my price or start earning my grades. That's when I knew I had to call the Board of Health to investigate the meat theft. I'm just a concerned citizen that loves school lunch. Download the Super Show. Before I call some motherfuckers on you too.